And welcome to another episode of the Sisters in Christ podcast. I am Pamela Ferguson, and joining me in studio today is my beloved sister in Christ, Tamara Evans. Welcome, Tamara.
Thank you, Pam.
Good to be here. Today, we are going to discuss the topic, Wisdom Calling Out to Every Woman. And remember, audience, we are on our journey for 2026, the year of wisdom, and we will be discussing Proverbs chapter 8. Now, Proverbs chapter 8 is one of the most beautiful chapters in scripture because wisdom is no longer an idea. It becomes a voice, a presence, a call. Wisdom stands in public places, on the heights, at the crossroad, raising her voice so that no woman is left unaware or uninvited. This tells us something powerful. God does not whisper guidance in hidden corners. He calls out in clarity. Wisdom is not passive. She pursues. She invites. She appeals to the mind, the heart, and the spirit. She reminds us that her value is greater than rubies, silver, gold, or anything we could ever accumulate. And when we choose wisdom, we aren't just gaining insight. We are stepping into alignment with God's design for our lives. In this episode, friends, we will explore wisdom as a divine invitation, a call to purpose, clarity, righteousness, and discernment, a call that every daughter of God can answer. It's that time now. Go get your coffee, your tea, your water, whatever your favorite drink, and join Tamara and I as we discuss wisdom calls out to every woman. Welcome again, Tamara. So let's just get started, Tamara. When you studied Proverbs chapter 8, how does this chapter, Tamara, portrays wisdom as active, intentional, and accessible?
Wisdom, Pam, raises her voice. Mm-hmm. She calls out. She cries out. And crying out, she begs us to listen. She begs us to hear. She begs us to get understanding. She begs us to choose. And so, wisdom isn't something that is hidden. She is in plain sight for all of us to see. And if we are discerning, and if we have understanding, we will definitely heed her call, listen to her instruction, and go the way of righteousness.
Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? To me, that is saying, God, Tamara, that wisdom is not reserved for the few. It is open freely to all.
Yes.
You remember, if anyone in James, if anyone asks for it, God will supply it freely. So this is not something for the pastor or the elders or the deacon. Anybody who is willing and asks God for wisdom, he will provide that wisdom to us. And like we mentioned throughout our study of Proverbs, it's knowing the word of God. So we have to be intentional. Yes, we can go to God, and he says he gives it, but we have to do our part. And that's study his word to know what he's saying to us.
What I like, if we go further into it, verses 4, and she is literally saying where she is. She's saying, I'm at the heights. Mm-hmm. The crossroads, the gates at the entry and the main entrance. So she is telling you where you can find her, meaning you can go to these places, and in these spots, there you will find me. So there may be places she's not going to be, right? She is not going to be some places. But these places are not hidden places. These seem to be places where it's a lot of activity, busyness. And I'm sure if you're in a place where there is activity and busyness, you may miss it.
Yep.
So that means within those places, she's not hidden, but you have to seek.
God meets us at the point of our decision.
Yes.
Not in the consequences necessarily,
no.
But at the point of our decision, at the entry gate, meaning before you even step into the decision,
yes.
Seek him.
Yeah.
Get his guidance, his path that he has for you to follow. Even if you do something that you're not supposed to do and you end up at a place where you're not supposed, he still loves you.
Yes.
But we don't have to be like that. If we call out to him, if we seek him at the point of that decision at the beginning.
Yes. God meets us before the consequences.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He invites us to learn from him. And so it's not, like you said, after and we get out.
We're human. Okay?
Yeah.
We're human.
Yeah.
And we make those mistakes. Last week, I was dealing with something and I'm like, oh God, I ain't seeking you for this one. I must speak my mind.
Because you already knew you were out of order. You knew that right
I'm
away.
Like, that flesh got all of me. I said, oh no, no, I got to get this out here. Get this out here. But we are human,
yes.
And we make those mistakes. So we're not trying to push perfection here,
no.
Because we all make mistakes. But when we acknowledge those mistakes and said, okay, God, didn't handle that one right, let's try this again. And as much as possible, invite him at the beginning of those decisions and not, like you mentioned, in the consequences, even though if we walk in the wrong path and there are consequences, we can still call out to him and he loves us so much. He will still help us out.
Yeah, God is in a gracious pursuit of his people, right? So it doesn't mean that if you have a misstep, you're going to miss him. He desires for us to continually seek him. And I'm so grateful for his word, mm-hmm. because everyone in that scripture that he pointed out, especially in the book of Hebrews, in the book of faith, the chapter of faith, we know that those people had challenges in obedience. Sometimes they went ahead of the Lord. They had to face the consequences, but it did not change his love for them. And it did not stop him from using them to do his perfect work here on earth. He still used them. The key is, and if we look at King David, you have to have that repentant heart.
Yeah, a man after God's right. own heart. But when you read David's story, it's like a soap opera. The making of a wonderful movie.
Definitely.
But he was still a man after God's own heart. And like you mentioned, a willing heart. See, the Bible said, man, look at our outward appearance. You know, we know what's going on around the world today. You know, there are some files that have been released.
Yes.
And, you know, in some cases, our mouths drop when we see certain people
yes.
contained. And that's because a lot of times we look at the outward yeah. appearance.
Yes.
We think because you seem to be an elite or even maybe wealthy, that everything is well
yes.
with you. But I love it that God searches the heart. So even though we associate all of those things with David, God look at the heart. And what David did was he acknowledged them
yes.
before God. See, there are some people, pride will not allow you to say, I was wrong. Forgive me, God. I should not have done it like that. But when we acknowledge our wrong, when it's brought to our attention, because sometimes, like with David, the prophet had to tell him.
Yes.
Whether he forgot or play for God, the prophet brought it to him. And when he realized, oh, that is me and that's how I acted, he repented.
There's a resistance to truth. Mm-hmm. There's a resistance in our flesh not to want to obey, not to walk in wisdom. That resides in us. It's a fallen nature. But someone who has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, has the Holy Spirit abiding in them, he is there to help us. Mm-hmm. He is there to counsel us. Mm-hmm. And he counsels us through God's word. He brings it to our remembrance. He shows us things from the word to cause us to stop and ponder at the crossroad, to make a decision that would be pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. And there are times when we are so much in our flesh. You know, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit so you would not fulfill the desires of the flesh. But there's sometimes we're so much in it, we reject, we stand against, we refuse. And ain't no enemy at work. Because, you know, we fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. This is the flesh refusing.
There's a war.
To obey God. And that brings about consequences. I was speaking to some high school students the other day about their digital footprint. And I'm telling them, whatever you do on the internet, it's there forever. You can delete it off your page, whatever you want to do. But there are ways to get this information. And some of them, and I said, Google yourself. They never even thought about Googling themselves.
I would never Google myself.
Google yourself.
No,
because you'll be surprised what's out there about
you. That's it. I don't want to see. I do not want to see.
However.
I know. I agree. That's a good advice you give them. But me personally, I would never type my name in that search engine because I just don't want to see.
But guess what? You don't see it because you don't search it, but mm-hmm. other people are.
Right.
And there's a perception of you out there. And that perception is based on what you have done, where you have been, and who've captured you. If you haven't captured yourself on your social pages and so forth, that information is out there. So wisdom, judgment, mm-hmm. being wise and having discretion is important for your every, especially in an age where everything is Snap, Chat, and TikTok, and Instagram. So we try to tell the younger people, you need to
be careful.
Use wisdom.
Use wisdom.
Use mm-hmm. wisdom, and it escapes them in a lot of ways because they're risky, mm-hmm. they lack good judgment and good sense. And here in Proverbs, mm-hmm. you hear them telling the sons, use good judgment. Seek the Lord.
What does Proverbs chapter 8 tomorrow reveal about the value of wisdom compared to wealth or success?
Wisdom is more valuable than any money or anything we can buy.
Oh, wow.
It's more valuable than gold and silver. It's more valuable than rubies.
So you mean I shouldn't be out there pursuing wealth, but I should be pursuing wisdom?
It's more valuable. We need to pursue wisdom. It's more precious than rubies. Wealth cannot teach you how to live holy before God. You know, they had a thing recently where you can put ask ChatGPT to do whatever the word is, and it comes up with like this cartoon character of you, and it looks through your history, and it creates this image of you of what you're supposed to be. Well, everybody was posting theirs. I couldn't post mine. Because I had the Bible in one hand and a stack of money in the next hand. I say, Lord, I repent. You can't serve two masters. Where did this get this from? But what is more valuable?
I think it's addressed in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 through 11, and I'll read it. Receive my instructions and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. And so what this is saying is that no level, like you mentioned, of wealth can replace godly discernment.
Yeah.
And so the focus, I believe, and I'm thinking back on Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Mm-hmm. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you desire will be added unto you. So I encourage the people of God, don't go chasing after wealth. Don't compromise your integrity for money. God is saying through his word, seek him first, and whatever you desire, it will be added unto you. Then Proverbs is coming and saying, you looking for silver? Mm-hmm. You looking for gold? That's not valuable. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge is valuable. Mm-hmm. Because when you have the wisdom of God, he will give you the insight and the strategy to acquire wealth. Don't put your focus on those things. Remember Solomon, when he went to God, he could have asked him for money, but he asked him for wisdom
because
to make
he
good
did,
judgment.
Those things were added. He sought first the kingdom,
so
the
that's
wisdom
the important
of God,
thing.
And those things were added. But what came to me is the parable of the rich fool. Mm-hmm. In Luke chapter 12, verse 20, we're talking about wisdom, and we see the opposite of it. It signifies that the man focused on earthly possessions and wealth rather than being rich toward God, leading to his sudden unexpected death and loss of accumulated treasures. The Lord responded to the man who was accumulating and building bigger barns and bigger and bigger. He said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of you. This is what God called him, a fool. Mm-hmm. God calls him a fool, stating his soul is required immediately. And here's the lesson, listeners. The parable warns against prioritizing material wealth over spiritual preparedness. Busy about building bigger barns. And when your soul is being required of you, what have you laid up in heaven? Lay up for yourselves treasures not on earth, but treasures in heaven. So where is your priority? He gives us the power to get wealth, to establish his kingdom here on earth, to give to the poor.
Yes.
Those of you who are wealthy or rich, mm-hmm. remember the poor. Mm-hmm. Give to the poor. Give to those in need, the widows, the orphans. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Mm-hmm. But when we prioritize it for our own selfish needs and ambition, then we will face this. When our soul is required of us, what will the Lord say?
Mm-hmm. And wisdom from me, in studying Proverbs chapter 8, it brings substance, not necessarily status. When we look at verse 20 of chapter 8, I led in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment. See, Tamara, wisdom shapes who we will become.
Yes.
Not just what we accumulate.
Correct.
Because riches come and riches go.
Mm-hmm.
I think about, you know, people who amass wealth and something happens and they lose it all.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are just relying on wealth, if that leaves you, what do you have left? So it makes sense. And we're talking to the people of God.
Yes.
It makes sense to put God first,
yes.
pursue his path and his way. And then he will give you what you need to accomplish the task that he's laid out before you.
Yes. And he said he'll meet all of our needs.
All of our needs according to his riches in glory. The cattle on the thousand hill all belongs to us. We will never be forsaken when we trust in God.
Oh, yes.
So then, Tamara, how then does Proverbs chapter 8 shows God's desire to guide his people openly and clearly?
God isn't playing hide and seek. You know,
secret
we used to
agent.
Be
a secret agent.
Come find me. You know, he wants us to seek him, but he is not hidden in the seeking. He's not behind curtains or in closets when we, you know, years ago we used to do that. Mm-hmm. Hide and then 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, ain't nobody find you yet because you already tried it. Or you hear someone rumble and then you go say, okay, that's where they are. He's not like that. He wants us to seek him. He says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. So he wants us to find him. He's open. He's there. And wisdom then raises her voice, verse 1 says. She's crying out. She stands where life happens, at the entry gates, the crossroads. And she is speaking to all people. And she's speaking the truth plainly. And she warns before destruction. And you know what? She calls for a response. So this reveals a God who wants to be known and wants his people to walk wisely. This is what he wants from us.
And this wisdom or God's guidance, it's inclusive. We mentioned that earlier. And it's accessible. Mm-hmm. It says in Proverbs chapter 4, to you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. God is not just speaking to a select few. But he is speaking to everyone, not just the spiritually mature. And that's why I support go to Christ for yourself. Yeah. Don't let other people speak into your life and you're surprised. You know, God told me you're going to be this. Really? Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you, Lord. No, you have the opportunity to go to God for yourself to see where he is leading you, yes, and what he has for you to do. Now, someone could come along and confirm it. You could be thinking about it, praying about it, and God sends someone to confirm it, but not necessary to introduce it to you. You see God for yourself.
We're talking about personal relationship. We're talking about the veil being torn in two for you, me, others can have direct access to God the Father. And what I love about him, he said, come to his throne of grace, boldly. To receive mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need. Mm-hmm. So if you are in relationship with him and you're having a conversation with him daily in prayer, you're reading his word, he will instruct you personally and give you everything you need for life and godliness.
As we wrap up tomorrow, let's look at how, from our study of Proverbs chapter 8, we can connect wisdom to God's given purpose and moral integrity. I think that's so important during this time.
Yes.
The purpose of God for our lives, but also moral integrity.
We are here to glorify God. So wisdom isn't just telling us what is right to do. It keeps our purpose aligned with God's glory. Everything we do in life as believers should connect our hearts to what glorifies God, not for our personal selfish ambition and gain. Does this bring, and that's the crossroad, this is where you meet wisdom. Yep. Mm-hmm. Does this bring glory to God?
Yep.
What I'm saying, what I'm doing, what I'm engaging in, is God being glorified in this? And am I being or becoming more Christ-like by taking on this particular endeavor? This is where it reached the road. The question should be asked, will it glorify God?
Yeah. And then wisdom for me walks in righteousness and justice. You can't have wisdom and walking in error. You must walk in righteousness, the right path, mm-hmm, and justice. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 20. I walk in the way of righteousness along the path of justice. See, moral integrity isn't an add-on. It's a path that wisdom naturally leads us down. And we talked about how we can display this in our everyday lives, mm-hmm. meaning to live His love. Not necessarily talking it, because we could talk. And some of us can wax eloquently. But I think what God wants more importantly is for us to live it out so all can see righteousness and justice. Live it out on a daily basis.
And let me tell you something. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You cannot do it yourself. He told us in Micah 6:8, He said, He had shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And that's basically what we've been learning in the book of Proverbs. Do justly, do what is right. Love mercy, be merciful and kind, and get rid of the arrogance, the pride, the proud look. Mm-hmm. You ain't have nothing what God ain't give you.
Thinking you are better than others.
You don't own anything. You're a steward over it.
bringing people down to make yourself look good.
Yeah.
It's not wisdom, and it's not walking in the path of God. And you know what I like tomorrow? Wisdom leads to life and favor.
Oh, yes.
Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35, for those who find me find life and receive favor from God. See, purpose flourishes when wisdom leads. Oh, yes. If we put our focus, if we put our hearts on the right thing, then the added benefits of life and favor will follow when we put our focus on the right thing. And that right thing is God and His wisdom, His knowledge, and His understanding.
Oh, yes. That's what He gives us. He wants us to align with His word. And in aligning with His word, we glorify Him.
Mm-hmm. And it protects us from self-sabotage.
Oh, yeah.
Flesh get in the way. We get in the way of ourselves.
Many times.
Sometimes we have the self, get on the side. Get on the side, self. And take up the arms of wisdom. Tamara, close us out in prayer, please.
Yes, let us pray. Sovereign and Holy Father, we thank you that you are not silent, distant, or unclear, but that you have spoken clearly, authoritatively, and graciously through your word. Thank you for the voice of wisdom that calls out, not because we deserve it, but because you delight to guide your people. Grant us hearts that do not merely hear wisdom, Lord, but submit to her. Deliver us from the illusion that we can order our lives apart from you, and teach us to treasure wisdom above riches, obedience above applause, and faithfulness above success. May all our wisdom, decisions, and purpose ultimately serve your glory. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for tuning in, listening audience. And until next time, continue to trust in God.